This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Robin Portman. Robin is Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton. Booz Allen Hamilton is a leading management technology and engineering services firm supporting the federal enterprise. Now it's almost a century, right? Just about a century, Booz Allen Hamilton has been delivering exceptional service, management service, technology services, supporting client missions across the federal enterprise. And Robin is currently responsible for the business development function supporting the firm's major markets, the defense, security, civilian, and commercial. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Roger. It's a real pleasure to be here with you.
Well, Robin, you are someone that people recognize as a thought and business leader in our procurement community. And so as a first step to introduce yourself, I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell listeners a little bit about your background and a little bit more about your current role with Booz Allen Hamilton.
Sure. So believe it or not, I have been with Booz Allen for almost 20 years now. And prior to that, I was a senior project leader for TRW Systems, which back in the day was a premier software engineering firm. So I definitely have an engineering and information services background with 2 degrees from the best academic institution in the country, University of Maryland.
Go Terps.
Go
right?
Terps, that's right. For Booz Allen, I have led major accounts in our health business for nearly 10 years. I worked for and with the Department of Veterans Affairs, the National Institutes of Health, and also the military health system. But prior to that, I've worked in both our security business and also our defense business, so have a broad experience across the firm. And most recently, about a year and a half ago, I was asked to stand up the firm's first business development organization. And although it really is the first time we've had a centralized function within Booz Allen dedicated to business development, we currently report directly to the COO. However, we are, and this is a new thing for us, of course, but we are all fully embedded in the market and client service accounts.
That's great. And was the, you know, I just want to ask a question about that decision to create the business development arm. Is that was a reaction to where the federal market is going from Booz Allen's perspective?
Yes, at some level. We like to say that we have a 2,000-person sales force with folks with shoes on the ground, boots on the ground, out working with our clients. But we are now a $6 billion beast. And so in order to really compete in the federal marketplace today, we really do need to be looking at upping our game with regard to professionalizing the business development function in the firm.
Right. And taking a big picture, sort of strategic view of that.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the federal marketplace today. And you're one of the things that that I know you're very excited about, and we've been talking about prior to the show, is Booz Allen's role in providing strategic advice to customer agencies on the role technology can play in creating efficiencies and best value solutions that support agency mission requirements. Can you talk about how Booz Allen is providing that technology support, that strategic vision to technology, and how it's implemented in organizations?
Absolutely. Roger, we are really excited about the expansion of our engineering and technology services area. It really is a great area of investment for us moving forward. And in short, this is about driving our capability to deliver technical innovation and solutions directly to our clients based on a specific problem. And this is different from our traditional managed services and consulting business because it really requires us to actually design, engineer, and build or test alternatives for clients to answer specific problems. And we believe this is especially relevant today. And so, for example, in the modernization of platforms, for example, for DOD, some of these platforms need to operate well beyond their original shelf life. And they need to be modernized. Let's say adding a new antenna to a vehicle, for example. This is not a simple bolt-on. You really need to use innovations in engineering and modeling to really help our clients objectively evaluate their options and trades and design solutions to meet new and, as we know, increasingly emerging threats while keeping the platform operational. And keeping the integrity of the platform. So we recently did this as an example for a project for the Army around augmenting vehicle armor, for example. Another example is in health. You know, how do we support the analysis of data for a hospital network using electronic medical records to identify trends in patients who were developing sepsis upon entry into the emergency room? So we developed an analytical system that could identify trends in the actual clinical staff adherence to guidelines and trends in patient presenting conditions. And this actually resulted in changes that not only saved lives, but represented significant savings in costs, as well as in terms of hospital stay and readmissions and so forth. And so, you know, all of these are just two, you know, basic examples, but all of this, of course, requires significant investment in terms of not just hiring the best people, which we have always done, but also major investments in innovations, in innovative techniques in engineering and modeling, technical methodologies, tools and environments, facilities and equipment. And we are all doing those kinds of investments around this thrust into engineering and technology services.
So it's like the nexus between, you know, technology and the changes and evolutions in technology and how you take advantage of those and understanding where your customer is going and trying to marry those up. Is that sort of a...
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's like a soft pitch over the plate, Roger, because we believe...
Well, hey, I'm here. That's what my show's about, right?
We absolutely believe that given our consulting heritage, we definitely have a deep domain knowledge and understanding of our clients. And we believe that coupling that with really innovations in engineering and technology services really can get us to the forefront of this. We have set up a new strategic innovations group, which is under the leadership of another executive vice president in our firm, Karen Dayhut, to really drive these innovations in engineering and technology services area with a staff of nearly 1,500 people dedicated just to this team. So, Roger, obviously, we're really serious about this.
Yeah, and it's you know, to me, one of the things that that strikes me about it is that it's clearly Booz Allen, right? You see it as this is a growth area.
Yeah, Roger, right? We absolutely do. You know, we believe that with the need for government to increasingly do more with less, you know, more clients are going to need to challenge industry to help them solve their problems and, you know, and compete by bringing innovation and creative cost-effective solutions to the table. And we see this across the board. We see it in DoD with the increased need for C4ISR solutions and modernization of their existing platforms and systems. We see it in health in the Department of Veterans Affairs. We see it in Treasury at the IRS. And, of course, you know, in cyber. So increasingly, government will need to see industry come up with ideas and solutions that are truly effective, that are informed by sound engineering and technical trade-off analyses, and solutions which could potentially offer new ways of actually doing business.
Right, and you know, you stole my thought there, because I was going to the idea that it is a growth area just by the very fact that the government has to do more without more, or more in many instances with less, right? And, you know, companies like Booz Allen, you know, in particular, provide, you know, that advice and design, engineering, management, consulting to help people create more efficient and effective mission support solutions for the taxpayer.
I mean, absolutely. And to be able to do that in a way to provide the justification, to provide the basis of estimates, to provide the background that enables our government clients to make informed decisions by looking at some really cutting-edge engineering and technology evaluations and analyses.
Now, when you are supporting a client or a customer agency, you know, there's so many different factors I'd like to touch on, but you know one is obviously you got to look at the infrastructure they already have for the technology and how that may or may not drive innovation. And I guess I'm going there at the idea of a modular approach. Is that something, you know, it sounds like you mentioned, for example, for the Army, you know, adding, you know, the additional antenna. I mean, you've got to, if you think that through, you've got to create a solution that provides for the capability over time to make modular or incremental improvements. And is that where Booz Allen is going with this?
Yes,
approach?
Absolutely. And this is, I touched on the need for investment in engineering methodologies and techniques. We created a methodology and process called ICAM, Integrated Capability Assessment Module. And basically, this methodology actually takes a look at all of the factors that you just talked about, taking into account where we are today. What is the platform looking like? What is the challenge or the emerging requirement? And what options could we model to look at to see how they can be integrated effectively and in a cost-effective way into the existing platform?
Well, we have to address the revenue side here, I guess. So we do have to take a break, Robin. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Robin Portman, Executive Vice President, Booz Allen Hamilton. And we'll talk a bit more about, you mentioned ICAM, we'll talk a bit more about best practices for innovation and applying technologies to organizations to improve efficiencies. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
CACI delivers innovative information solutions and services to serve America's highest priorities, advancing efficiency and performance with business systems, countering the effects of complex threats with integrated security solutions, providing healthcare solutions for better, more affordable care, defending the nation against cyber threats, and helping veterans with its award-winning career-building program. CACI. Information deployed, solutions advanced, missions accomplished. CACI, ever vigilant.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Robin Portman, Executive Vice President, Booz Allen Hamilton. And Robin, when we took the break, we're about to talk a little bit about, or I segued it by saying we'll talk a little bit about best practices for, you know, leveraging technology. But, you know, I guess my first sort of big picture question about that is, you know, what role does, you know, organizational culture or philosophy of our organization, how it manages and views technology, what role does that play in trying to manage and take advantage of the constant change in technologies?
Well, I think, Roger, many of our listeners have experience with this, but again, here, I believe the best examples of this start with the involvement of the mission side or the operational business side of an organization to actually help drive technological change through involvement at the outset of the technology changes. And I think the best example of this is the success of the age-old VISTA system for electronic health records at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And yes, many of us know that at this point in time, the systems are aged and in need of modernization, but it is still the first successful and the largest integrated medical record system in this country for like two decades. And when you talk to the clinical staff at the VA, they love it. And why is that? Well, it was developed by clinicians for clinicians. It does what they want it to do. And back in the 90s, Dr. Ken Kaiser, Undersecretary for Health, could drive great organizational change and improve healthcare quality at the VA through the use of this technology. So I personally believe there's some great lessons learned there.
Right. Well, it's, again, you know, in the first segment, you mentioned the idea of that nexus between the actual functions being performed and visualizing those and then translate, how do you find a solution for that? And that sounds like to have the actual, you know, requirements users, right? The user of a system play a significant role in helping figure out what functions it needs to perform to allow them to better do their job.
Absolutely.
It seems to me it's a fundamental best practice. Are there other best practices on how to plan for or incorporate, you know, technology change in organizations?
Well, it's, again, involvement, and I think we pay lip service to this involvement of business owners and stakeholders up front, especially as needs are being defined, as you just talked about. But how about asking for their leadership and actually prioritizing changes, you know, getting them involved in scheduling and asking for their help in communication strategy and, in short, involving them in all aspects of the technological change, not just the requirements definition side. And I believe that is really a best practices. And in some of the examples we've talked about, these best practices have really had the strongest impact.
Right. And another question I have in thinking about what you've said is, it seems to me there's also an opportunity to just fundamentally take a look at processes in general, right, when you do this. I mean, it's not just about the technology side. It's about looking at your operation to say, where are there, you know, inefficiencies in the way we conduct our business and eliminate those as part of the solution.
Right.
I mean, that's
absolutely
something Booz Allen Hamilton does, right?
Absolutely. And that's, again, why you involve those business owners and stakeholders up front at all levels in the organization to allow for that strategy development, those new processes and modernization of processes to go hand in hand with that technological change. And it can only happen if you've got the whole entire organization involved.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask you about, and I know this is a passion of yours, is contracting. And, you know, I wanted to get your views on what some of the best practices in contracting are that agencies could deploy or should deploy to leverage the constant change in technologies.
Well, Roger, you're right. This is absolutely a passion of mine. And as agencies look to innovation to solve some of their biggest challenges, and I really believe that they must do that. A couple of things that I would say I think are important. First is, I would really like to see agencies ask industry to come to the table with their solutions, even for potentially the more traditional services, managed services requirements. Pose the challenge to industry to come and solve the problem. Don't feel like you have to come to the table completely solving the problem and then explaining to industry, how to do it. The analogy I like to use is you can tell a team to take a hill and you can tell them the topography of the landscape and give them a map and the route and so forth, and that's what you'll get. But if you say, take a hill, do it in the fastest, best, most effective, and cost-effective way, you're going to get a series of answers that then you can really evaluate. So give industry the problem, ask them for their ideas and innovations. They're investing. Take advantage of their investments. Could we do more with less? Could technology automate, as you mentioned earlier, certain processes that are currently done with FTEs versus? Secondly, though, part hand-in-hand with that goes for industries needs to provide for, and agencies need to ask for, a more rigorous approach to how they come up with their basis of estimates for these solutions, especially for technology implementations or solutions bids, rather than just accepting a lowest price with no justification there. And there are industry standards out there for how to do this. But in my opinion, in too many cases, these industry best practices for doing these rigorous estimations of basis of estimates, too many cases they're being thrown out in deference to lowest cost. And then the third major thing that I'd like to see is the use of real off-ramps when performance metrics for contractors are not being met. Here I could go on and on, but this is an area that really could use some real transformation in the federal space. And those that start to crack this nut are going to show some impact because they're going to be leveraging industry investments in the future.
Right. Well, off-ramps, that's an interesting idea, the idea of off-ramps. It seems to me that's an area that it creates incentives, right? I mean, it may be incentives for people to continue to compete and perform under multiple award contracts. I think it enhances competition, right? Because there's that incentive. And as part of that, maybe there's on-ramps too, right? So that folks who may not be in the game at that point get an opportunity, because many of these contracts are 10, 15 years long, at least the major multiple award IDIQ contracts, and creating putting some dynamic sort of market forces into it. Sounds like that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, for some of these more singularly focused IDIQ contracts where we have, a more limited number of players, I think that's an optimum example of where what you're talking about could be employed, identifying mileposts and milestones and metrics around them, and then allowing for the objective measurement of how a contractor is doing in meeting up to those standards.
Well, when you mentioned the idea of, I'm going to go back to number one of those three, and that was almost a performance-based approach, right, where you say, hey, this is the result I want to take that hill. You go take it. You do it as quickly as you possibly can, as efficiently as you can, and come to me with your solution as opposed to, the government dictating a solution. Is part of the key there that communication back and forth between the government and industry in the, and sort of that requirements development phase when you're trying to think about how to articulate the goals that the agency wants to acquire and inform potential competitors of what they need to look at?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you're hitting on here is a key issue, and that is total transparency in the entire process. And that goes for the process up before the RFP drops for a particular solution. And then again, I think I talked earlier about some of these best practices in terms of engineering methodologies and design methodologies, you know, really expecting that from industry so that artifacts can be presented and articulated that demonstrate that you're really meeting the milestones that you said you were going to meet.
Right. And then the middle issue that you bet, number two, was essentially low price technically acceptable, right? And that, to me, you've got a great point there. It seems to me that we do live in a sequestration world right now. So there's great focus on, you know, price. But price to me, I'll see how you like this analogy, Robin. Price is like, you know, it's like the tip of the iceberg that you see above the water, right? There's value, there's all kinds of transactional cost. It's what the ultimate outcome is. Price is just one element. If it saves money, like we don't want a low price technically acceptable cybersecurity, for example, right? We want the best value solution, top in class there, because there are other, you know, aspects of it that could cost our country, our society much more if we don't have great protection. Is that what you're...
Absolutely. And look, I'm not saying that, you know, the government doesn't need to look at cost when evaluating solutions. Absolutely. But need to look at cost that is backed up by an articulation of expected performance and expected measurement of where a solution is going and what it's going to achieve. And at the end of the day, you know, taking a look at those basis of estimates and taking a look at those engineering artifacts to ensure that, in fact, they are going to meet their objectives.
Right. Well, right now my objective is to take a break, Robin, but when we come back, we'll be talking more to Robin Portman, Executive Vice President, Booz Allen Hamilton. And, you know, I mentioned that word, the S word, sequestration, and I guess we'll talk a little about, where the government is right now and where it's going in the future and what does it mean for the federal procurement marketplace. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The mission of government involves critical efforts to improve national defense, economic security, health services, and citizens' lives. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to help government address cyber threats, reform the financial system, modernize infrastructure, and protect our nation. For nearly 100 years, Booz Allen has partnered with clients to deliver results that endure. To see Booz Allen's ideas in action, visit BoozAllen.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Robin Portman, Executive Vice President, Booz Allen Hamilton. And Robin, when we took the break, you know, we had touched a little bit on, you know, that sort of dreaded S word, the sequestration. And, you know, we live in a world with sequestration, continuing resolutions. You know, at the same time, we've had transitions with the end of conflict and Iraq, major conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, with the current budget profile, you know, agencies are being asked to do more without more or more with less in many instances in a ever more complex world. I want to get your thoughts on what does all that mean? That's a big picture. But, you know, how does that impact, from your perspective, how has it impacted agencies' sort of strategic planning?
Well, Roger, I think you would agree there is still quite a bit of uncertainty out there. And from what I can see, clients in many cases are struggling to meet day-to-day operations, much less deal with any type of strategic planning, although, of course, they have to. But it's difficult to really focus on that. I think that current operations are being impacted by staff morale, you know, both on the federal side as well as the contractor side. More and more there are contractors sitting side by side with our federal colleagues with furloughs, et cetera. It's really difficult to keep the morale and the energy up out there in the operational day to day. So, again, I think it is. Personally, I do believe that it is impacting any type of strategic planning going on out there, and not just on the federal side either. Contractors also should be thinking now in terms of making those longer term investments to get to the other side of this thing. But for many companies, it's difficult to do in this current situation. But it's way too late now to start thinking about, if you're just now starting to think about the downturn, you are in big trouble as a contractor, and you need to be thinking about positioning for the future. And, you know, for all the reasons that I talked about earlier and what we're doing at Booz Allen, I am optimistic. I'm not sure how or exactly when, but we will get to the other side of this dilemma. And there are pockets that we've talked about of real growth and opportunity for industry to make a difference out there. And there are very reasonable attempts on the government side to get that stability in the operation. So I think we'll see.
Right. And well, made a couple points I wanted to follow up on, because I think they're great points, is almost down that agencies are, and I sort of hear the same thing, that they're so focused right now, given the current budget profiles and what they're dealing with and trying to manage with and furloughs and all that, that they're really, it's a day-to-day thing, right? Strategic planning from the government side, I think, has taken a hit.
That's right.
At the same time, I think that great point there that you made is with regard to, you know, contractors getting to the other side. That I've talked about this a bit too with folks in the community, and that if you are disciplined and if you've taken the long view, and you understand the market, and you understand that you have to have been planning a couple of years earlier than this, at least, anticipating where the market is going. And those who have done that planning, who are disciplined in their approach to the federal marketplace, when they come out at the other end of this, they're going to be in an even better position with their ability to compete.
That's absolutely right. I've talked about the investments that we've made to position ourselves. We've also focused on operational excellence. Both internally. And again, we've also taken a harder look at our strategies and as you say, focused and have a discipline to retain that focus on key areas that we're going to be pursuing. I think that's key.
Right. And that, I mean, I think identifying as a growth area, the idea of like the constant change in technology and how you leverage that for customer agencies is, it dovetails exactly with, you know, where the government's going, because they're going to want to do more with less, absolutely. So Robin, you know, I wanted to sort of do a word association, you know, the word association game with you, and just get your thoughts on some various issues or concepts or ideas that are out there in the current federal procurement marketplace, and you know, just get your thoughts on those. So I'm going to throw some words out, and you can give me your impressions, thoughts, or whatever, and we can have a fun conversation about it.
All right,
so,
sounds fun.
So first, okay, Mythbusters.
Well, I think that one myth is that there's absolutely no opportunity out there today, and there are no places for growth for companies like ours. And again, I think We just talked about this, having a disciplined approach, focusing on some key areas of growth and leveraging the strengths in our organization today to be able to take it forward. So definitely there is opportunity out there and places to make a real difference.
Right. I think it's a great point in terms of a myth out there. It's still a very, very large federal marketplace, and it still will be 5 years from now.
Absolutely.
Right? And the government is not going to be, you know, hiring droves and droves of federal employees, that, you know, essentially, you know, contractor support for mission support is, you know, an approach that our federal government has taken for the last 20 years or more. And it's a sort of strategic approach. It's, you know, an efficient approach, and that's going to continue. So that's a great myth to bust. You know, and I know we've touched on this one a little bit, but I want to go back to it, because I do think it's very important. It goes to that investment in the future from the government's perspective, and that's, you know, getting your thoughts again on low price, technically acceptable, LPTA.
Well, again, look, I wouldn't advocate that cost, that agencies, you know, do away with considering cost in procurement, obviously. LPTA actually does make sense for commodity buys or places where the requirement is more for managed services, or where the requirement is very, very clearly defined, where skill sets are in moderate to average demand. Those kinds of places, that's where LPTA can make the most sense. Back using my hill analogy, we know this hill well. We've traveled this ground quite often. We know where we're going. We know when we'll get there. LPTA is just fine. But not so when there is a need for innovation, and hence the government needs for industry to invest, and investment and risk on the part of the contractor. where you know that LPTA is not going to, in the long run, answer your requirements or get you to where you need to go.
Right. That's all about, to me, what I'm hearing you say is about requirements. Requirements
that's
development,
right.
How the requirement is articulated. And, you know, the more uncertainty in the approach, the less appropriate, you know, LPTA is for a particular procurement. Okay, strategic sourcing. Any thoughts? What is it?
I may be in the minority here, but I think it's a great way to buy pencils and stuff. I don't necessarily think it's a great way to buy services that aren't well-defined or that require a complexity in terms of skill mix or, again, answers a requirement that isn't well-defined. So, again, I think it's great for major buys of commodity services and or major buys of things. Not necessarily for the kinds of services we've been talking about.
Right. And that goes back again to that, you know, you mentioned it, requirements.
That's
you
right.
Know, a clear articulation of the requirements, you know, that the government is seeking. Okay. Another one that I think I know, I think across the community, there's still great concern I hear about it all the time about contract duplication. And, you know, what does it mean in terms of cost to the system, to the costs to companies who do business with the federal government? And do you have any thoughts on the role? So this is a multiple question and thoughts that GWACs, you know, government-wide contracts can play in addressing that.
Well, you know, obviously these types of contracts are a key business channel for Booz Allen, and they're an important business channel. But we have, you know, come to the realization that we have to be sensible in how we bid on these contracts. If it's a multiple award contract, we want to know that up front. Recently, we've seen this phenomenon where everybody wins. You think it's going to be highly competitive with two or three awardees, and to avoid any kind of protest, the government awards to everybody. Well, in that case, you know, you've asked industry to waste some very precious B&P in order to compete. Especially when everybody who bids on this IDIQ wins, and now you're going to be bidding, you know, quite competitively for the task orders themselves. So within Booz Allen, we're actually taking a hard look at, and we're calling it our vehicle strategy. And so we're taking a look at which of these contracts we need to be on, which are important for our core business areas, and which ones provide us lift, and which ones are duplicative, and where we can probably exit.
Yeah, and you know, Robin, that is a great point. I have to tell you, the bid and proposal costs associated with getting on many of these multiple award contracts, where they expect the private sector to spend all this money, it's supposed to be quote competitive, and then they do it, and the award goes to all or almost all. You know, maybe a better, more effective approach would to be focusing on the task order competitions and make it. You know, if you're gonna award to all, make it easier to get on the contract and then just go to the second level. You'd save the government money, you'd save the contractor's money, ultimately you'd save the taxpayers'
money. That's absolutely correct.
Right. So Robin, we're up at the break again, but when we come back, we'll be talking more to Robin Portman, Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton. And last segment, we're gonna talk about small business contracting, Booz Allen's support of small businesses, as well as Booz Allen and Robin's support for our veterans, our wounded veterans. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
These days, it seems everyone's talking about the new normal, but federal agencies have a chance to define it. How will you shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. We understand what makes America work and how it can work better. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we can help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, or even change the game. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Robin Portman, Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton. And Robin, this segment, we're going to start out by talking a little bit about small business and what's going on there. And I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the, some of the new provisions and implementations of requirements around the Small Business Jobs Act of 2012.
Yeah, well, as you know, Roger, the Small Business Administration has recently released final regulations that actually implement provisions of the Small Business Jobs Act of 2010. And these regulations actually became effective on August the 15th. And require a higher degree of reporting for contractors on their small business subcontracting practices and more reporting than in the past. And we anticipate much greater scrutiny for those processes by all federal agencies. Definitely more reporting will be required for sure. So most notably, we will be required to provide a report to contracting officers in instances where we have failed to achieve our goals on the level of subcontracting to small businesses, commensurate with what we included in our actual offers. Additionally, contracting officers may require more detailed small business subcontracting plans with actual specific information about teaming intentions down to the delivery order level. This is new for us, yes.
Right.
So there is no doubt the new regulations are designed to force a closer relationship between what these major prime contractors say their small business commitment is in the bid and proposals and what is actually subcontracted to small business partners in reality. And that is not a bad thing, by the way. That's going to encourage good behavior and accountability. But it's something that I think all of us are going to need to pay attention to.
Right. And I thank you for correcting me. It was the Small Business Jobs Act of 2010. Not 2012, which way, Aaron, you just, I appreciate that. And you didn't call me out on that too. So I appreciate that as well. But
I could be wrong.
It's the Small Business Jobs Act, right? That implemented these. But I think you're right, actually. But in any event, so how is Booz Allen? What are you doing to respond to some of these changes? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, just briefly. We've always had a very strong small business office and program under the strong leadership of your good friend Carl Salzano, who is our senior vice president leading
Absolutely.
Acquisitions, and Diane Marsden, who's also a senior associate who leads that office. Basically, we're starting out just this month with a lot of outreach and training. We are definitely beefing up our reporting and tracking systems and processes, and then setting up processes to get feedback out there to program managers around their performance, because we're taking this seriously and we believe it's the right thing to do.
That's great. And I know you know, with regard, did you want to talk a little bit? I know you have a great mentor-protege program.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well.
You know, first and foremost, I want to say we believe that at Booz Allen, we are a great partner. We believe it is important to be a partner to small businesses. We are really implementing a huge push for our own small business strategy, and we like to say that we do this with a portfolio approach to the business. So let's understand where we want to go, and then let's start looking at strategic partners instead of what I like to call the shotgun wedding approach, where the RFP drops and oh my gosh, now we need a small business partner. Rather than that sort of process, really be proactive and look at the business carefully and say, okay, here's where we want to go. What partners can help us get there? How can we employ mentor-protege programs across the board to be able to be successful in competing?
Just great. And now, Robin, I want to switch topics with us. We've got about 5 minutes left, so I want to focus on an area that's near and dear to your heart and also, you know, a corporate priority for Booz Allen Hamilton, and that's supporting our veterans, our wounded veterans, as they transition to civilian life. So first, let's talk about Booz Allen. What is Booz Allen doing to assist the veteran transition? And I've heard estimates of over the next 5 years there'll be 1 million veterans, transitioning from the service to civilian life, and that's a huge challenge for our country, for our society, and for government and industry. And so what is Booz Allen doing in that area?
Well, first and foremost, a significant portion of our workforce are veterans, and so we believe that that's very important. Carl Salzano, who I mentioned earlier, and I stood up a Veterans Steering Committee about 2.5 years ago. We are co-chairs, and it includes other partners across our firm. And it's really fully integrated now as part of our diversity programs, and we have what we're calling an official veterans agenda. And that agenda includes several important things. First, a really strong recruiting program and a veteran integration program. And also a program that looks at how we retain these staff across the board. We've stood up an Armed Forces Forum, which is providing a community for our staff of service veterans, and allows them to work together to provide anything from support to each other, social events, communities of practice, but also service, volunteer service opportunities for the community. In the service arena, we also, as part of our Veterans Steering Committee, partner with nonprofits such as Operation Homefront, the Department of Veterans Affairs. We've worked with them to create partnerships with DAV, for example, for all of our community service efforts. And by the way, I might mention on a personal note, Tom Portman, my husband, and I have recently started an endowment for scholarships for undergraduate veterans at the University of Maryland. And I would like to give just a real quick shout out to the fabulous programs that the University of Maryland has put in place with their VET Center, as well as education programs for veteran integration at the academic level. And in concert with that, we're doing the scholarship.
Well, that's wonderful. And again, go Terps, right?
Go Terps, yes.
So, that's a wonderful set of things that Booz Allen Hamilton is doing, that you're doing, that you and Tom are doing in support of veterans, and that, you know, education is a key to transition, right? For many of the men and women who've been in the service, it's an opportunity to advance professionally, to integrate back into, you know, the civilian life, and education is a, you know, it's almost a key that unlocks a door in many instances. So it's a huge positive investment for our country, for
all of us, for all of our futures. Absolutely.
Yep. So, and you mentioned too, that there's many veterans who work at Booz Allen Hamilton. Can you talk a little bit about why it's good business to hire veterans?
Well, it's absolutely good business. First of all, first and foremost, it's the right thing to do. But these professionals come in with domain knowledge of our clients, a diversity of experiences, experience with leadership. And all of those things have made these folks, you know, really important parts of our organization. And I think that you and I had talked about our veterans mentoring program that Carl and I have also started. And a lot of these veterans who work for us are key to those mentoring programs. So Carl has stood up a program specifically focused on wounded warriors at the Bethesda Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, as well as in San Antonio. And I am partnering with the Business and Professional Women's Foundation for their Joining Forces Mentoring Plus program under the leadership of their CEO, Debbie Frett, to provide mentoring to women veterans and caregivers who also require help.
Absolutely.
In terms of looking for jobs.
Yeah. And do you want to provide, you know, information where the listeners can, you know, learn more about what Booz Allen Hamilton is doing?
Just go right to our website. We have an absolute fabulous website. Our marketing and communications folks have really made it easy to find that kind of information right on our website.
Right. And I would be remiss, Robin, if I didn't thank Booz Allen Hamilton for their support each and every year of the Coalition for Government Procurement's charity golf tournament. This year we named it for Joseph P. Caggiano, who was a member of our board of directors and tragically passed away. A wonderful man, a veteran himself, and driving force behind our event. And it's support from companies like Booz Allen Hamilton, who's made it such a success. And, you know, over the last 3 years, we've been able to contribute over $30,000, you know, close to $35,000 to Operation Second Chance and Hope for the Warriors. And again, I want to thank Booz Allen.
Well, congratulations to you on the success of that event. That's fabulous.
Right. And Rob, lastly, I want to thank you for being on the show. It was wonderful, a great time. I really enjoyed it. So I want to thank my guest, Robin Portman, Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.